Thank you very much for that, Catherine. OK, so the election takes place now on Friday. We're really into the business end of things, I should say. We're focusing today on the Milford Municipal District. This is, I think, our third last debate ahead of the local elections. And all of the debates we've had to date, if you've missed them, you haven't missed out, because they're all available for you online. So you can check out your area, if you so wish, by searching on our page. And in fact, what we might do is put them all in the one place and one page for you on our website, so they're more easily accessed for you. But they're all there. OK, so it's Milford, and it's three seats. There are nine candidates taking part. And we're going to introduce you now to the remaining four that we haven't spoken to yet. And we'll say good morning to Dermot Hardy of Aintu. You have a minute or so, Dermot. We're not too strict on that. But why do you think people should give you their number one vote, or their next highest available, I suppose?
Okay, good morning, Greg. Yeah, I'm Dermot Hardy. I'm from Rathmullen. Lived there for the last 20 years, originally from Kilkeel, County Down. I'm a new candidate for a new party, pro-life party. I've spent my career in education as an English teacher, secondary school English teacher. Knowing the UK system and the Irish system as I do, I'm not sure that they're fit for purpose for the 21st century and its needs. I'm also a trade unionist. I've fought for teachers all my life. I know the art of negotiation. I know the art of compromise. But one thing we or my party will never compromise is on the right for a child to be born. And that's the essence of our party.
OK, Emer Friel is standing for the Fine Gael party. A very good morning to you, Emer.
Margin White, Greg. It was Margin White and Fanel, August and Lockdaish, to Turfad. To Lucar Orm Vin Shaw, Liv Margin and New, August Gromayog, to Highland Radio, Duncoru, Higgin, Jeesbrook, Tawak, to Shaw. So good morning, Greg. Good morning to the panel and to all the listeners. And thanks to Highland for inviting us here this morning. I'm Emer Friel. I'm a mother of twin boys from Cashel and Fannet. I've worked as an assistant to Minister Joe McHugh for the past 5 years, and I have the experience of delivering for Donegal. I want to be a new voice, a glower oor in the Milford electoral area, to ensure we get our fair share of funding from Donegal County Council and that people get to see the real benefit of this on the ground. I've already delivered with Joe on so many projects in the area, from Roskill to Remelton, from Terman to Rathmullen, from Kilmacrenan to Milford, and from Kerrykeel to my native Fannet. And I know I can help to deliver even more as a county councillor.
All right, Emer, thanks very much for that. Charlie McGinley's running as an independent. Charlie, why should people give you their vote?
Charlie McGinley here. Independent candidate for the Milford elected area and non-party. I lived in Donegal all my life, worked in the tourist industry in bars, restaurants and for many years. With a keen interest to open a small business of my own, I set up a small bakery in Gortner Brad with my wife Sarah and opened a coffee shop sandwich bar in the local village of Carrigart named Grimblasta, supplying local shops throughout Donegal for 30 years. Employed people year-round, and many students in the summer months. In the last 3 years, as I retired, I became a publican and learning all our local communities and working with people in different areas. In 2010, I became a commissioner for oaths, meeting with people from many areas throughout Donegal and working with them on their concerns and documentation. I am asking you for your number one vote on May 24th. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much for that. Now, last but not least, Councillor Ian McGarvey, looking to return to the council. Good morning to you, Ian. And why do you think people should again vote for you?
Good morning, Greg. That's Michael O'Meara, father of the Gafdunya, the Tarnshaw. I was Kahi Meara. That has more room of me and so imagine in you. Greg and to all of you, haven't been in more or less in politics long before I ever got elected. You could have classed me being in politics. I'm somebody who has such an interest in the people, from the young to the elderly, either in sport and even for services. I've also over the years witnessed and many deficiencies. I'm out there at the present time canvassing. And unfortunately, again, I hear people say Ian McGarry was standing only to get elected to elect somebody else.
Well,
no, just a minute.
Yeah, but we're going to be teasing those issues out. This is just more or less sort of why you think people should be voting for you.
But I want to express the disappointment at the leg of that. When I hear somebody say, I'm only doing such a thing. I never yet stood other than with the purpose of doing my best for the people of Donegal.
Okay, so categorically then, so this is obviously what you want to clarify. Your intention, if someone elects for you, this isn't sort of getting someone else in on the back of Ian McGarvey. You are committed to 5 years, for another 5 years with the council if elected.
Because nobody knows, and even when the doctor put 4 cents on me recently, he said that's 10 more years of your life. Right. So it gives you an idea of the opportunity that may be there for me.
Well, we'll focus on the next
but
5 years.
But the other thing I want to say, Greg, the deficiency in that is this, that I see many things locally and otherwise. I see even a sewage system around my own three towns. I see, we'll say, where young people are maybe don't have the opportunity they should have had. And when it's referred to a minister actually here today by one of the panel, and this is no disrespect to you, Eimear, because I am disappointed with, we'll say, our national representative. You heard me express it many times. I will go on saying the same things until such times, because we had such a thing as a dual mandate where they could sit in Donegal County Council, go to Dublin with a problem, bring back the answers.
On that issue, Eimear, the easiest thing in the world, I think, is to be critical.
Okay, to say that.
Ian, no problem. We'll come back to you, Eimear. The easiest thing in the world, I suppose, is to be critical of those that are currently in there in power. And the presumption often is, and you know, I don't make that presumption, but even from my conversation with Micheál Martin, the presumption could be that I believe that if there is an election that Fine Gael are wiped out, when in fact they could come back stronger and better than ever. So are you finding that, and the criticism that Ian's levelling at Minister Joe McHugh, do you think it's fair as it relates to, say, for instance, the likes of the sewage schemes?
No, look, I don't. Well, I want to commend you on your Irish, first of all, Ian, at the start.
Thank you very much.
Yes. I mentioned Gilligog. So, yeah, look, I suppose, like, that's your opinion. I suppose I see it very differently from working for Joe.
How do you see it,
Ian? I'm expressing the opinion that's out there for me.
For you, yes. Yeah, but I suppose I see it very differently. So yeah. I suppose I work for Joe McHugh, so I see all the work that's ongoing in the county. Yeah.
We'll go round the table in a clock. Just one moment. We'll come round in order, and we have plenty of time, by the way, because of the makeup of the municipal district. There's four today, but I want to give everybody an equal opportunity. Dermot Hardy, again, I'm going to ask you the question of Aintu, because you've mentioned it a couple of times, and other Aintu candidates, that it's very clearly, you know, there's a pro-life thread there that's incredibly important. Mm-hmm. Are you a single-issue candidate? Is there more to Dermot than the right to life?
Oh, certainly. You know, we're not... Greg, we're building a national party. We want to be strong locally, and then we want to be strong nationally. We're not a single... I want to say that here and now. We're not a single-issue party. That issue is important. Of course it's important.
What's your number one priority for the Milford area?
I'll tell you, that's... health priorities. If you look at, for example, Ian's already touched on the sewage system. But you look at the health issues that have been dealt with. We've got the three hospitals, okay? And people often talk, and all I hear is about money, money, money. People are asking the wrong questions about those hospitals. They're asking the question, how much does it cost to keep those hospitals open? Wrong question. The question should be asked, how much will it cost to close those hospitals? How much will it cost in terms of the local care? How much will it cost psychologically and mentally for those people to be taken away from their local communities? How much will it cost to build this? We're talking about this big centre of excellence in terms of health and everything else. But people are people. You know, they're not talking about battery hens. There's the whole human dimension that's very, very important. And local communities are about local amenities. And there's nothing more important than a local hospital. So health is massively important. And if you close those houses down, you're going to aggravate the crisis in health in Letterkenny. And that is a big, big problem. And we totally object to any notion. And we're I mean, we will campaign for the retention of those hospitals.
On that issue, Emer, I mean, we'll come back around when we get our feet here. Emer, Friel, Fine Gael, I mean, you know, you could presume from those comments almost that your party's stance is actually for the closure of these hospitals and centralisation, but that is simply not the case, you would argue, I'm sure.
It's not the case for the community hospitals. Mm. It's absolutely not the case. For the Remelton Community Hospital, for example, the government has committed more than $2 million to upgrading Remelton Community Hospital and will be announcing the tender for the redesign of Remelton Community Hospital in the coming weeks. So I do think that confirms a government commitment to keeping community hospitals open. We all know what community hospitals mean to people. We all know there's many problems with the HSE as well. But there's not enough focus on the good things being done. I suppose from my own point of view, my own father has been very seriously ill for the last couple of years. And I can't commend highly enough the service we receive from the carers, the nurses and the doctors to come to our home daily. And I think it's time that they got recognition for what they do also.
Mm. What about you, Charlie McGinley? Is health coming up for you on the doors a lot, and is it something you have concerns about in your local area?
Well, more so as people living in isolated areas and living alone are worrying, you know, if they have to go into hospital and these community hospitals are not there to care for them when they return, before they can return home, you know.
Mm.
So that's their main issue, like strokes or heart attacks or something, and they need care, like, to continue.
Yeah.
To have the rehabilitation, like, to before they can return home or to their own homes.
So they're afraid of even getting sick in the first place.
That is their fear. That is their main fear of getting sick.
And how do you fix that? How do you resolve that? That's the big question.
That is the big question, you know. We need to get people to probably attend their doctors more and become more, you know, into the communities. And we're working with the community, maybe attending day centres and stuff like that, you know, and attending the local doctors and things like that.
When people talk about that fear, Ian McGarvey, maybe those, the likes of yourself, councillors, and maybe us in the media, add to that fear, you know. And like Emer say, should we be focusing more on the positives and the benefits of our health service?
Greg, I would have to say to you and to Emer, this is nothing personally against yourself. Because when I only cite one thing in Donegal, it took 40 years to get the Cathal Bridge erected. Now, to me, I stood in the Nardis years ago, very critical of the party, and I said we were like Indians on a reservation. As long as we kept quiet, nobody wanted to know. So you see, there's a letter where I have written, and there's a response to it as well. Now, the one fear I have is, the other two hospitals, it's easy to talk about money, but I like to see, look, I have to apologise to people. I actually like to see things done, not talked about. Money has to be in up front. Plans have to be in place. They have no knowledge in Remelton yet at all about any development. That's the story. I know, again, St. George's had the same, but the one fear in there is there in a letter to the minister and a letter replied back, where actually Lifford is at risk. Now, I'm somebody around in the elderly, care of the elderly for years. Started the first care of the elderly in Remelton when there wasn't one in the town, raised money to pay home helps. And we used to run a concert, and this is an interesting thing for yourself, Greg. Brian Smeaton used to sing two songs at the concert, as well as people like John Carr, the Harper family, and we've even Barney McCullough of Kalahi down one time. It cost £10. He came down to the stage and we collected him in Lithuania. But here's the situation. Brian was coming off the stage this night after singing these two songs. One of them was, you're right there, Michael, are you right? And he says to me, I was getting the next act ready. McGarvey, if I'm going to sing at these concerts, I'm going to have to learn new songs.
Yeah.
I says, don't worry about it, I'll have a new audience for you next night. So this is the kind of environment we had. And we had women there like Mrs. Greer, Mrs. Friel, Mrs. Kitterson and others, who did all the things in a voluntary basis, provided food and everything, parties for them and so on. Took them out and everything else. My concern is about the homes. It's number one, our elderly should be located as near home as possible. The day centres that
provide... Well, does anyone disagree with that?
The day centres that provide a service there, Greg, has to be acknowledged.
Mm.
And the staff that will say cater so well for them, because these are people maybe living alone. Actually, on the call, even around, a man is so delighted to be able to come in once a week, have a wise and have seen to and looked at and so on.
Okay.
These are the issues, Emer, and it's not directly to you,
Ian,
dear.
Nobody's arguing.
Sorry,
just come back to your letter.
These are the issues for me. There's for you.
What was the letter?
Do you want to read it?
No, sorry, we don't.
I don't know, but I'm just wondering what it was.
I'll give you a copy of it, Emer.
No, it's all right.
Who was it to?
Charlie, you wanted to come in on that there. Sorry, Charlie.
So,
Charlie McGinley, independent.
I was going to say, like, you know, some people who live in the area can't have the benefit of the local community hospital in the area. Somebody living in Melton said to me the last day they buried their sister and they were being moved that night to Stranorlar, which wasn't a good thing.
Charlie, that's just because...
So we're talking about... The
spaces were there. There were four free rooms there.
Well, there are 20 maybe in the hospital as well. So this is, again, back to... not at council level, unfortunately for me, we can only make the representations, Charlie.
Of course. Yeah,
and regrettably for me, the response maybe isn't what you would like.
Because people have to travel long distances and have no transport. I used to collect people's half seven. Okay. Councillor McGarvey, sorry, Greg, you sort of moving in the direction of, sorry, Greg, you asked me there, sorry, you didn't seem inclined. I beg your pardon. Carry on.
Oh no, the health service is a big issue for us as the party, not just locally, nationally. I mean, the nurses and midwives, their figures last year for the number of people on waiting lists was nearly 750,000, 750,000 in a developed country.
In the length of time as well.
100,000 people in the year on emergency beds waiting for operations. I mean, the health service in this country, proportionately more money goes into the health service here than it does in the UK, but it's not remotely as effective. So there needs to be an overhaul, not only at national, but local. But if they think that they're going to cut our local services to patch up the national problems, that's all wrong, and we will object to that.
If we're going to sort of talk on a national scale as well, Emer, I have to give you an opportunity to come back in there.
I don't think anybody can argue we have a long way to go to sort out the health system, but I suppose from
Letterkenny's... Are we going anywhere towards sorting it?
Well, Letterkenny's point of view, I suppose the budget has increased in Letterkenny University Hospital from 90 million in 2014 to 140 million, or just close to 140 million this year.
Have we seen a
return on
that,
do you think? We have a record number of doctors and nurses and staff. I mean, there's over 2,000 staff in Letterkenny University Hospital. I suppose, the number of people being treated every year is increasing. So, I suppose there are a lot of questions that need to be answered in terms of how we fix this. Nobody's arguing that there aren't.
Charlie?
Well, I was down in the General Hospital one night not that long ago, and there was a man sitting in a chair from 5 o'clock the evening before, and this was 1 o'clock the next day. When the doctor came along and he had his foot on the ground, he says, if you're prepared to sit like that, I'm not prepared to treat you. And the man said, well, I'm sitting here since 5 o'clock yesterday evening. What do you want me to do, lie on the floor? I mean, was that good enough? Long hours, you know, to sit
right
there.
You're listening there to Charlie McGinley. You've also heard from Emer Friel, I beg your pardon, Ian McGarvey, Dermot Hardy of Aintu. We'll be back after the break. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. A caller says, I'm from Dunloe and I'm a patient at Letterkenny and Sligo hospitals with knee issues. Since my husband died, I have no transport. In July, I have two appointments in the 1 week. I have to decide which one to attend because I can't afford the cost of travelling to the two. What are they going to do about local transport? And we'll go clockwise on this one. Councillor McGarvey, that comes up time and time again, particularly in our more rural municipal districts, in that, you know, rural isolation and all these issues we talk about are exacerbated because people, even though there is some rural transport, they can't even get out from their house to the end of the lane to get on to this. I mean, is that just a factor of rural life, or is it something we need to be working on?
Can I come in, Ray?
Yes, I'm inviting you to.
Thank you very much, too. I want to say this, number one, about the hospitals. I'm 25 years in Friends of the Hospitals. What has to be acknowledged out there, Friends of the Hospitals provided more equipment down there that attracts consultants and surgeons we might normally not have. The other thing, regrettably for me, referred to there by that person in Dunloe, you have to recognise that transport between Dunloe, we'll say, and Letterkenny, or even in a show in Letterkenny, we used to be able to, and I, as a member of a voluntary committee, used to be able to contact somebody within the health board at the time, which I regret was done away with, the regionalisation of it. And they would have provided even a transport for them to collect them, take them to the hospital and everything else. Now, that's the service, regrettably, seems to have gone by the board. And unfortunately for me, the people in some cases who can't get to hospital, it's so sad for them and for their families.
We do
as well.
Spend tens of millions on taxis, though, and then people be upset that we spend money on the taxis. But is that not some of the vital services that that money is providing?
Yeah, that's very important as well. Okay. And what I was going to say as well, Greg, there's a service there whereby they can should be able to go out of the country and go anywhere at all for a service that has to be utilised far more as well.
We'll try and stay on just without meandering too far off the specific issues, because we can bring all those in. Dermot Hardy, when you're out canvassing, when you're knocking on doors, do you hear that? Is rural transport coming up for you an awful lot?
Oh, it is surely, Greg, it is surely. You see this thing about, that's the point I was going to make there about taxiing. That taxiing is a kind of an ad hoc thing. It's a bit like the secondary roads. There doesn't seem to be any grand plan, infrastructural plan. And that's true of transport as well. Throughout rural Ireland, there is no plan. It's like it's a patch-up job wherever you go. Send a taxi here, send a taxi there. And you're saying there, quite rightly, tens of millions spent on that. Whereas if we had a proper transport service that accommodated the community on a regular basis, it would not only be value for money, but it would be value for people. People from everywhere could appropriate it. And the thing is, it's very, very important in terms of our carbon footprint now, that we begin to utilise, you know, our transport and begin to think about our transport.
But I'll ask you the question directly, Dermot. Is that, it's obviously something we would like, but is that realistic and achievable? Or is, you know, having to have a car or having to have access to a car part and parcel of rural life? Or do you believe a government with the will could provide an effective rural transport scheme that would cover the majority?
Oh, I think it surely could, with a bit of imagination. You look throughout Europe, it's more and more about central transport. It's less about the car. We're doing the car is almost becoming, in some countries, certainly in some cities, becoming a thing of the past. So with a little bit of imagination, well, maybe a big bit of imagination, but I think this is the thing that's lacking in local government. We kind of tend to put the blame on national government and say, I think there's not enough imaginative thinking at local government. And then if we work as a council and work together, we can present the needs of our county, our Milford area. And I think that's important. We need to sit down, say, you know, as a
group. But we don't have control over this, but we can, in a united and uniform way, come up with proper proposals and influence it. If we can't control it, we can try and influence it.
Especially when we have, we've got a TD at the cabinet table, you know, and we should be utilising him. The council should be utilising him. But, you know, he is only an individual. The point is, if the council keeps the pressure on our TDs in Dublin, you know, they will act. The nature of Irish politics knows that they will act. If you look at down south, down in Kerry, look at the Healy Rays. I mean, people often sneer about them. But I tell you what, there's a lot of people who would like them for their TDs because they seem effective, you know.
They say appear to deliver is what you were saying. Eimear, you're nodding in agreement with a lot of what Dermot Hardy is saying. Does that mean you agree?
Yeah, no, look, I do agree with that. I think at a local level, like, these are issues that are important to us on the ground locally. Look, it has come up on my canvas as well about rural transport. I suppose at home in Fannet, there is a local link service which travels to Letterkenny every morning. Now, there's only certain pickup points. So obviously, if you're not living anywhere near that, there's a difficulty around getting to the pickup point in the first instance. But look, it's something we need to develop further as well through the Department of Transport. But look, I agree totally with Dermot as well. Like, we can sit here and blame everything on national government, but I think we need to start at a local level. As Dermot said, getting together, coming up with something collaboratively. Like, we all, four of us, know the issues on the ground. We've been out over the last 6 weeks campaigning. And look, we know that this is important, but I think it's a good idea to get together, put something together. And look, we do have Minister Joe McHugh at the cabinet table, and he would love to hear our thoughts and opinions on this from a council level.
So do you think in that regard, maybe, and I'm going to come to you, Charlie, of course, you just happen to be sitting last in the loop we're doing. Do you think that the council maybe needs to refocus its efforts then on its representation of the people and its influence and direct representations it can make to the likes of a Minister Joe McHugh and the relevant government department?
Look, absolutely. It's one of the reasons, I suppose, in my canvas cards, I haven't put a full list of priorities, because I've kind of been gauging from been out and about. Like, I don't know, I'm not in the council yet. I don't want to be presumptuous, but it's important to hear the views of people, what people need, what people are dealing with in the rural areas. And then I think it's our job as local representatives to go back, put that together, to work together and to try and come up with solutions to help the national government.
You see, why listening to people, and it's mostly what I do, listening to people, what they're loving listening to from councillors now and those who want to be councillors. But they then get a sense that once this election cycle is over, that all of the stuff and the positive words that Dermot's mentioned and Ian and Eimear, and we'll hear from Charlie shortly, that nothing ever comes from that. Like, will there be from the Letterkenny, I mean, obviously Milford will sit with Letterkenny in the new council, but will a transport proposal for the Milford district be forthcoming? Because otherwise we've wasted 10 minutes talking about it. And I don't, that sounds harsh, I don't mean it as such, but do you know where I'm coming from?
I suppose I'm not in the council yet, so I don't know 100% how all these things work, but like, I can't see why not. I can't see why whatever three councillors are selected by the people this weekend couldn't work together. Like, rural transport is important to every candidate in this campaign, whether they live in a town or in a rural area. We all know people who are living out, who need their neighbours or friends to pick them up and take them to hospital appointments. Well, look, we do. I can't see why the three councillors that are chosen wouldn't work together to put together a plan. Like, that's the whole purpose of local councillors, and Dermot touched on that already.
But if you ask the public, they might get a sense that they don't feel that actually happens in reality.
People, okay. But as you say, we need to act on it as well. There's no point listening. And
Charlie McGinley, you mentioned really initially, you kicked off this conversation on sort of rural transport and rural isolation. What do you think the solution is, or what do you think should be or could be done?
Well, I think, as Eimear says, the local link is there and it needs to get more focused on going into the rural areas, you know, these long lanes and picking people up and bring them down to the main drag to connect with the main service into Letterkenny or to their main town, you know. I think that's the basic answer to that, you know.
And that actually, in reality, you know, I mean, some things we can debate and some things we know for a fact. If that were to happen, it would be life-changing for some in our community, not least perhaps the older people.
For everybody that lives in an isolated area and it depends on the local transport, you need to have those services in there that they can get out to connect to the local community on maybe a daily basis or a weekly basis. If they have to go for their pension, they have to engage a taxi. You can see the cost of that taking if he only has to travel a mile. And that's a big 10 euro out of his pension, is quite a lot. On a Friday afternoon, you know, that he could be putting towards firing or fuel of some description, you know, or maybe extra food. But he has to go to put it on taxis and stuff like that, you know. It's not...
Can I make one point, Greg?
Go ahead, Ian McCarthy.
There are people with bus passes out there that doesn't have a first service. That's the problem. That's the constitution sitting there that states we treat our people equally. There's a big difference in how people are being treated and ruled on Donegal as places in Dublin. That's my...
Or indeed towns.
And towns well, the same towns like Letterkenny. So I think it's about time we realised what our constitution does. It mean anything to us, or do we scrap it? Because there are many more instances that doesn't treat our people equally.
Dermot wanted to come back in there.
Yeah, I can just say, you know, there's an awful lot of talk nowadays about equal opportunities, treating people equally. Anybody who talks to me about equality and doesn't talk about the equality of the unborn child has been hypocritical.
Let me ask a follow-on question here, right? Okay, because, I mean, in fairness, you've mentioned a couple of times and you're entitled to express your view. It's an important tranche, presumably, of your campaign. What has that got to do with Donegal County Council? We had a referendum in this country. People voted to repeal the 8th. Okay, in Donegal, it was the only county that voted otherwise. But as a county councillor, if elected, really, in reality, what can you bring to that agenda? You know,
Of course, Greg, you know, we're about bringing a voice to the voiceless. That's the first thing. That must be the most fundamental moral principle of any society. How can we talk about any equal opportunities? How can we talk about anything without when we deny that right? Now, you're saying the questions are good, and I've got it on the doorsteps as well. How is that relevant? It's very, very relevant. First of all, it shows an honesty in a candidate who's willing to stand against all the abuse that they get, as being a right winger, a Trumpite, everything else, all the nonsense you get. So that shows an honesty, which people feel there isn't in politics. Secondly, the issue is not going away. A 12-week-old baby in its mother's womb is as relevant as it, and there's enough good people out there to know that it's as important and as beautiful as a 12-week-old baby in its mother's arms. It's 12 weeks now. In 4 or 5 years' time, abortion, 20 weeks, 24 weeks. We're here to make sure that doesn't happen. We're here to share that give voice to the Donegal people who voted no. We are standing for Donegal, Greg. It's all right talking nationally. We are local people standing on local issues. And we do want to give voice to those people. And that's important, that there's a voice in that council that's willing to stand up. Now, that's one issue.
Okay, now, but I will stay on that because, as I say, that's quite a big issue, and I want to give everyone an opportunity who might want to come on that to come in on that. Emer Friel, a lot of people in this county too work very, very hard to give the woman the right to choose, and Dermot's committing to in the council to sort of fight for the rights of the unborn. So it will come up for debate in the council if he's elected and others. What's your view on it? I mean, do you think it is a worthwhile use of the council? Or, I don't know, that's a clumsy question, but I'll let you take it from there.
Look, I suppose first and foremost, it's a very personal issue to everyone. I suppose from my own point of view, I was faced with this very decision 13 years ago with an unplanned pregnancy. Abortion wasn't something I even considered. But that is not to say that I have a right to choose that to make that decision for other women either. Fine Gael gave the right to vote to the people of Ireland. And yes, it was marginally no one Donegal, but we're part of a 26 county where it was nationally yes. And it has now been passed. So I suppose I'm just not sure, like, this is a national issue, so I'm not sure that it's something that can be discussed at a local council level.
I'm sure you'd say otherwise, would you?
Oh, of course. And I mean, the thing is, you know, the idea that it's, you know, that it's passed, so therefore it's okay. You know, the thing is, it's never okay, and it never will be okay.
Charlie McGinley, is this something that's coming up for you? Charlie McGinley, Independent. You've just been hearing there, of course, but from Dermot Hardy, Vane to Emer Friel, Fine Gael.
No, I don't notice any questions really on it at all, except how did I vote, you know, and I voted no, so that's all I'm... Yeah. Can see on the matter.
Ian McGarvey?
I would like to say to Emer, I welcome your contribution to this debate because I've always had respect for women. I know a bit about what a woman goes through, and it's been more referred to. I don't think it's fair of me as a man to judge because, shall I say, I know disrespect to you actually and your remarks about it and so on, and you're very strong and all the rest of it, but I wouldn't like to think I would make it a political issue. Because this is a very personal issue that I think has to be considered between the church, between the state, and between the medical people. Because, Emer, I don't know, would you agree, every case is individual.
Okay.
Every case affairs different challenges
as well.
And I'm not qualified to say determined.
So did you abstain in the vote? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't want to declare what way.
No, I'm not asking.
I can't
you
even
to.
Recall
I'm just
what I
on to.
At the time, but okay. I only know about it, Greg, and I Understood. Know much about it, and I don't want to get too involved
and
because
you won't.
As a man, and I won't either because
okay.
I'd
this
prefer it was only for the women.
This isn't a man. I mean, that's another.
You see, I don't
it's another,
to
another
be,
party. Let me finish. I let you finish.
Oh, that's no bother. Sorry
okay.
about that. No bother.
This is all part of the deceit that this is a women's issue. This and another part of deceit, it's a part about women's health. I worked in secondary schools in London for 20 years of my life. I saw young girls 14, 15, pregnant. Mm. And it's so ingrained in the national psyche in England that the first thing they do is have an abortion. I saw young girls taken to clinics. They hadn't even a parent to accompany them, an educational welfare officer. They left those clinics with no emotional support, no psychological support, no support, went straight home. I never seen those girls again.
Okay, you mean you're shaking your head there.
I never saw those girls again. Let me just finish on this here. Whereas in Derry, when I talk about what in Derry, all the children that I knew, the girls that got pregnant, the education was provided in their homes. They took a year out of school. the baby became part of their education. It almost became like a little celebrity in school when it came back in. Mm. Because, you know, the love was there and the support was there.
Okay,
and
anyone else?
In terms of women's equal health, or women's health, that's what we should be providing. That's real women's health.
Eamon, do you want a last word on that? Or you
I suppose just to agree with Ian in that it's kind of a personal issue more than a political issue.
Well, you've come in. You said you don't want to declare you want to vote. You said that you don't believe it demands issue. So I can't see what you can add to that, to be honest.
No, just a bit of comments I've made.
We'll come back to that.
It is very much a woman's issue, but it's also for a woman and her partner, or for it's a family issue as well, but it's a very personal issue, and I don't think I agree with you in that it's not a political issue, but obviously...
Right, well, everyone's... Dermot's very clearly on the record believing it is. Very finally, Ian.
With respect to you, values and attitudes in England or in Derry are distinctly different from values and attitudes in Donegal, and you
please,
saw it from
please,
the...
Please.
No, excuse me. Please. Allow me, please, as you said.
I'm allowing you.
Allow me to do this. Yeah. It's unfair to quote and make them relevant to, we'll say, what the people of Donegal are, because you're imposing attitudes that you suspect exist there.
Dermot very much disagrees on that. Okay, we're going to move on to our next topic after we take this quick break.
This May in home.
We are around the table with our final four candidates from the Milford Municipal District. Milford is separate. It is then not subsumed back into. I mean, Milford and Letterkenny then sit as one collective as they do now, albeit for the time being, for the election purposes, it's nine candidates seeking the three seats in Milford. Emma Friel of Fine Gael, Charlie McGinley, Independent, Councillor Ian McGarvey, Independent, Dermot Hardy of Aintu. Those are the voices you've been listening to. A lot of people, other than the issues we've been talking about so far, don't believe the Milford District, and I'll start with you on this one, Charlie, don't believe that the Milford District, and even particularly Remelton's come up a couple of times, don't think they benefit enough from tourism.
Well, tourism in the area at the moment, like from when the people come into Donegal town, they take a left and they head for Glencolum Kill and they come back as far as Dunloe. And I've had the experience of meeting people in Dunfanaghy who have never been to our area. They have heard of Fanaghy Lighthouse, but they haven't come into the area in the past, you know, so they're hoping that they could come there in the future.
Yeah, and Rathmullen too. I mean, people talk about Rathmullen, that the benefits there could be...
Darlene's, Carrigart, they're not seeing the benefit of the tourist industry coming their way.
Is that a big issue for you, Dermot? Dermot Hardy of Aintu?
Yeah, I mean, tourism is absolutely the lifeblood of somewhere like Rathmullen. But the problem is, Greg, we're not getting support. You look at the roads and the pavements. You'd need a caterpillar on your pram for anybody to push a pram around the town. It's diabolical.
But there is a plan there, isn't there?
Oh, there's a plan. There's always plans. Plans. But, nothing's come of it. And the water, that's another problem. We've got two hotels there. We've got three top-star or top-class restaurants. We've got the pubs, everything else. And yet, in the last, at least once a month, the water goes off. The sewerage, the water... Massive problems. Mm. No investment. You see a few holes been dug around election time, a few roads been tarred. Blatant electioneering. It's like the Mica thing. You know, the Mica announcement comes a week before, you know, there's an election. Whereas it was a promise that it would be addressed in 2016. This electioneering and seeing people out now, it doesn't wash with the people. People are cross. I've never seen, not since the high years, and I follow politics all my life, have I heard of such cynicism on the door towards political candidates.
Well, I mean, with that in mind, Eamor, I'll put it to you, because you're a candidate to benefit from 500 grand announced this morning for rural communities, 500 grand announced last night for sporting organisations. We do have the Mica Redress Scheme, the Rural Broadband Scheme. We also have, what's the other one? 50 million for farmers coming from Europe to match 50 million. And even Micheál Martin, and you wouldn't be surprised perhaps him saying it, this is auction politics. Could that work against you as a government candidate, in inverted commas? I mean, do you believe there is any coincidence to all of these announcements?
Look, I really don't think so. I mean, we have announcements all year round. Most weeks of the year, there's announcements in certain sectors of society for different various... I mean, the sports capital announcements last night are an annual fund. I don't think the timing really is relevant. will it work against me? I don't think so. I mean, people are happy to see funding for their own areas regardless of what time of the year it is, so I don't see that as being an issue for me. Certainly nobody has raised that with me. I don't think anybody's going to be complaining about getting funding for their local clubs or their local schools or their local groups.
Do you question the timing of it, Charlie, or do you welcome any money at any time we can get into our areas?
Yeah, of course we welcome money at any time. Any amount comes into the area, but what's wrong is not enough coming in and that much to be done. When you look at what's happening in the local areas, we're talking about grassroots stuff here, Greg, you know, household charges, employment in the area, rural road surfers, tidy town schemes, houses built, ATM machines. There's a list.
Is there a sense then that you're speaking to people that they think that the council heretofore has neglected the Milford
of
district?
Of course I've neglected it for years.
And you believe the sitting councillors also have?
Well, I don't believe that maybe some of the sitting councillors have neglected, but I think they should be coming together. I would prefer if they came together maybe on a six-monthly basis and go before the people in an area, you know, that they could be questioned of what
they've
done.
Like a town
done,
hall meeting sort of thing.
A town hall meeting or what they've done for the people and address the issues that the people want addressed.
Mm.
You know, not by not seeing the councillors. What I'm getting on the ground is we haven't saw a councillor for 5 years other than Ian McGarvey.
And I'm getting the same.
I'm getting that. And then I'm seeing the people who were in real difficulty through examinership and everything like that.
You getting the impression, Ian, and Kate, then we'll go around that anti-clockwise then. And Ian's going to welcome you endorsing him, I'm absolutely sure about that.
People are saying that he's coming back to them and saying, how are you?
Charlie,
how
that's
you
good,
coping,
that's good
you
honesty.
Which is great.
But Eimear, is it a sense that since Milford and Letterkenny were merged that Milford feels less represented, or is this historic from the impression you're getting?
I'm not sure if that's the issue or if that has any bearings. I don't think it matters if you're living in Milford whether you're part of the Letterkenny or the Milford electoral area, as long as you're represented.
Well, do you feel the town is sucking all the resources?
I haven't felt that from being out and about, but I do agree with you in terms of, like, people have said that, oh, they're only out now because there's an election coming. We don't see our local representatives unless there's an election. So I do like the idea around, and it was suggested to me on a few doors, about public platforms. So having regular meetings in various towns throughout the electoral area where people could come and feed into it. I think some people feel that they can't or they don't know how to contact their local representatives. So I think that sort of a platform could be very, very useful.
Because it's
impossible to get round.
Is our politics too local then? That say, for instance, if I'm in Lahey and there's a Killybegs councillor or a Barnesmore councillor, that I think, well, I can't contact that councillor because they represent Barnesmore or Killybegs.
There is a wee bit of that too, but look, I think it shouldn't matter. I mean, I'm living in Fannet, but if I'm lucky enough to be elected, you represent the whole area, so it doesn't matter to me if you're living in Garton. But most people communicate with people through email or through phone anyway, so it's irrelevant.
Okay, so Dermot Hardy, a lot of politicians have been struggling over the last 6 weeks to remember their social media account passwords because they haven't used them in 5 years. that and sort of this sense that, you know, once you vote for them, you don't hear from them again. Is that something that you're getting? Is that something you want to change? Because there's no point in us highlighting what people are concerned about if there's not a commitment to change, is there?
No, that's right. And I am hearing that. You've been chased from doors. People, you know, sometimes say, oh, no, you've been here before and I haven't seen you since. I remind them that I'm new. But the other thing is, I mean, in fairness to the council, they are limited in what they can do. I mean, but by the nature of Irish politics, if you have a minister around the cabinet table, for most counties, you feel you've hit the jackpot. But in this case, people are feeling that they're not getting the support from Minister McHugh that they should be.
Eimear could make this argument, but you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. There's been €1 million of funding announced for Donegal communities and sports and organisations in the last 12 hours, and everyone's saying it's trying to buy the election.
Yeah.
So what? And that's from the minister sitting around the cabinet table.
I brought this up before, Greg. It's not about quick fix politics. It's about having comprehensive plans that are not just to come up at election time. Like the secondary roads, there's no infrastructural plan there. You drive along there and there's holes in the road you could bury a donkey in, and then those holes get filled.
No stop signs.
But the thing is, you need a 5-year plan for everything. There's no use saying, oh, you know, that's come to the county. And of course we welcome that, and that's brilliant. But the truth is, it's not fair. Mm. Because if you're going to pump that money in a week before the election and then neglect us for the next 5 years, how is that going to work? It's reactionary politics.
But Amy, you're saying that that's not what's actually happening.
There was a Department of Rural Community Affairs set up with a minister responsible for that department to look after these sorts of issues. So I don't think that there's announcements just once a year before an election.
Well, it kind of looks like it, Eimear, at the moment.
Well,
you know,
it doesn't. I can give you numerous examples of
I've been on the road
every
day of the week, you know, and I've only seen roadworks in the last few months.
That's not fair either.
You're saying that there's no coincidence what's happening now, and Dermot's also made that accusation. Councillor McGarvey, you're a sitting councillor. Is the work that's going on around our roads usual in your area, or is it the game been upped leading into this local election? I mean,
I don't think so, in fairness, Greg, because it's usually working on a 3-year plan, and I would have to pay tribute to our engineers and our road surface men and indeed our supervisors as well. They're working with scarce resources. And again, unfortunately,
neglected big time.
Charlie, I've been around as many roads as anybody sitting around this table.
Well, he's saying you've been.
I know the condition of them, Charlie. I would be delighted if we had the necessary funding, like you say.
Yeah.
And Greg well knows, he's heard me at council level over the years advocate. Bring our TDs and senators in.
But the council agrees budgets used to be 200 million and now they're 140 million.
You must get the stuff. Opportunity, and Charlie, let me finish, will you, please? Yeah. Because I'll tell you why. I'm not here to be smart with anybody.
No.
I never was in my life.
But actually, do get to the point, because I want to give you an opportunity too, because,
because
we are running out of time.
I've always advocated that these people should be at our table. Unfortunately, Noel Dempsey took it away in 1999. These people were bringing things back to Donegal, and council's aware of it. Now we have to pay.
You're on about the abolishing of the dual mandate there, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am. And unfortunately, that is. In 2016, I had an emotion about that. They came back once in 2016, January, once only to the council, because there was an election coming up. And that's what's happening about election. And it's not just because Joe McHugh's there. Joe McHugh does his best within the system as well. A5's there. They're talking about roads, very important for Donegal. Mm-hmm. There's discussion now the N14 to Lifford, actually. Which area is first?
No toilet facilities in a locket.
And you'll say
so that has all to do with the council, and all to do.
I want you to get on any time, Elitian, but please let me finish.
Right, sir. But we can't go on, we're running out of time.
Can you explain to me how any engineers actually would imagine taking 3 towns up to Milton where the sewage is running in for years? And where there's a school just outside the town may close because of the plant being located.
But at the same time, Dermot's talked about, you know, he's talked about water being cut off, problems
water,
with sewage.
Wi-Fi and road gridding and bus shelters.
This is another big thing. You've had your time.
What did I tell you now?
You've had your time.
This is the things we're getting on the ground. People are saying these things to me.
There's not a decent road.
I'm not making them up.
Good man, Charlie.
There's not a decent road into Donegal.
Come on strong in the last 2 minutes, yeah. Charlie. Good man.
There's not a decent road.
He's like a boxer going in the last 10 seconds.
I have no hope among them, Dermot.
But
Dermot wants to keep talking.
There's a lot of people very angry on the doorsteps about the withdrawal of the money from the A5. We haven't got a decent road into Donegal. How are we going to develop our tourism?
But do you, Dermot? You know why?
Wait a minute. I don't know why. Lack of investment and lack.
Not really. They're putting 25 million down a year, actually.
Have we got a motorway out of Donegal?
You haven't a motorway from here to Lifford, sure.
They've got a road from Lifford, it's no better than
Lifford. You haven't a road from Lifford, can I?
Knowledge of anything that's happening.
Thank you very much, Eimear.
75 million has been spent in Donegal over the last 2 years, so I don't think it's.
That'd have been allocated.
That's been over the last 2 years, so I don't think it's something deliberate ahead of an election. 19.3 million of that for the Blue Banks Road, which is fantastic.
Well, we had 3 million set up for houses in Kerrigar 2 years ago, never knowing happened. We had 17 jobs announced in Downings. We had 17 jobs announced in Downings 18 months ago. Nothing has happened. Where are we?
All right.
Can I briefly touch about water?
We don't have time.
I have promoted a group water scheme. There's a scheme now being proposed from Craig up through Craig. trunk main.
Okay.
They need to lay a distribution main alongside it. But they're not going to do that. And I think it's pure madness. 25 people waiting for the water.
Thank you so very much, Councillor Ian McGarvey. Also, we've heard from Emer Friel there of Fine Gael, Charlie McGinley, Independent, Dermot Hardy of Aintu. Listen, thank you all very much for making a really interesting and lively discussion. I really do appreciate it. The very, very best of luck on Friday. People, get out and vote, though. It's really important that you do, because then you have the mandate, I suppose, to complain as well. Right, we'll be back tomorrow at 9. Stay tuned.